As I read our Lord's description of the house that collapsed, I thought of everybody in Texas who's facing collapsing houses and from the storms, and we should be praying for them and asking the Lord's protection. These verses from chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, 43 to 49, end Luke's account of the sermon of our Lord. Actually, in Luke, you'd have to call it the Sermon on the Plain, because he specifically says our Lord came down, stood on the plain to teach. But it's the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew, because Jesus is the new Moses, and he's on the mountain. I want to go on with our consideration of the letter to the Corinthians. We are in chapter 10, as we have been since yesterday. And this is his warning about idolatry. Then I think many preachers will be glad to know that he doesn't talk about women's veils. I mean, he does, but the liturgy doesn't take it up. And we go on then Monday to have him talk about the Eucharist. And these texts that we have today are meant to contrast complement what we have in his discourse on the Eucharist. He's telling these people, avoid idolatry. I'm speaking as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Now look at this man understanding what's going on, and he's going to contrast it, because it seems as though some of the Corinthians, they'd go to the Eucharist and then they'd go over to the where they sacrifice to idols. And he says, remember, they're not sacrificing to idols. They're sacrificing to demons. And you get yourself involved in that, you're going to be in trouble. But he says it with such clarity and dispassion. He's just warning them, you don't want to hang around with demons. Underlying this is the whole understanding of what participation is. When we receive this body and blood of the Lord, we actually share in Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God made man, and in his whole body, us. That part he's going to talk about in chapter 11. And so he goes on to say, look at Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? That was the whole point. The Holocaust, it's all given to God. The word Holocaust, it's the best they can do when they translate the Bible from Hebrew to Greek. Huh? The word in Hebrew is Ola, which just means the Ola sacrifice. It's the going up sacrifice from the word Allah, to go up. Because it was a symbolic way of saying, I want my whole life to go up like that smoke to you. And so the whole thing is all burnt. Holocaust, but it's burnt not to be destroyed, but to be transformed into God, to go up to God, and I want to go up with it. That was the best they could do until we had our Lord's Holocaust, our Lord's total giving of himself, and now we enter into that, and we actually do go up with him. This is what Paul is trying to get at, you see. That we do join with him, and we are one with him. Now, it seems like some of the people there were, we can do this on Sunday, we go over there on Monday, He's saying, you can't. You can't. See, is an idol anything? No. Now, idol is something when we invest an ultimate meaning in it. It can be the state, it can be an ideology, or it can be a stick or a stone, but something, we invest an ultimate meaning and significance in something besides God. And that's idolatry. So, we can all look at our conscience, can't we? What is the ultimate meaning and significance of my life? And that's what Paul is challenging us to here, you see. I mean that what they sacrifice to demons, not to God. Now this is the Old Testament teaching. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. They sacrifice to Shedim. They sacrifice to demons. Now, amazingly, we're in that world again. I don't know. I guess they do. I guess there are places where they're, you know, killing animals and offering them up. We are not inventive as a race. We keep falling into the same sins and the same mistakes and the same errors century after century after century, with a little bit different twist, but it's always the same. Why in the world would you take a dog or a cat and kill it and offer it up to them? I mean, why would you do that? Do you see? But we're not, you know, immune from, we would think, please God. But we do, we, other things we invest in, and they have a grip on us. It can be pornography on the television or the internet. It can be money. Other things, and they have a grip on us. That grip is the beginning of demonic influence, and sometimes it's actually demonic influence. You see? On the contrary, you see, I do not want you to become participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and also the cup of demons, you see? So he's trying in this passage to say, look, make your choice. Who died for you? Who set you free from all your sins and all your misery? Who is bringing you to an eternal life? Can't you make him the ultimate meaning and significance of your life? Now you see, when this is not clear, people are going to have some ultimate significance to their life, whether it's conscious or unconscious. As I say, for some it's the state. That has never happened over here. But in Europe or China, you know, the state. The state always rivals God. We see that in abortion, where the state has declared who can live and who can die. No one can do that but God. And that's the danger, you see. And so, if the state has the right to declare who can live and who can die, well, tomorrow they can decide that we should die. No one has that authority but God. So that's a form of idolatry. And that one can get you into big trouble because it's violent. And when there is an abortion, there is a contract. Contract with demons. People don't know this. But it doesn't mean it's any less powerful. So you see, what Paul is warning us here against is all those places where we can have a truck with evil and get snared. And the antidote is the Eucharist, where we can be caught up right into the physical body of the living, eternal Son of God and embraced by him and prepared for eternal life and freed from our sins and protected and our family protected. And that's what he's telling us here. As I say, he'll skip the part about the veils of the women, and then on Monday he'll talk about the Eucharist.